tests. How many of you like tests? Kids, do you enjoy tests in school? No? You don't enjoy tests in school? How about when you walk into class and the teacher says, today we're going to have a pop quiz. Do your teachers ever do that? No? Well, I must be dating myself. For those who are teachers, you never asked your students to do a pop quiz? For the rest of us, it might not be a test as the kids take in school, but when you hear the word test, you may think of medical tests. When you go to the doctors and something is wrong and the doctor says, we have to give you some test, or maybe further testing. I would say for the most part, tests cause us anxiety, don't they? And yet we should look at the fact that tests can tell us something. They can be a blessing. They can point to something that is wrong in our bodies. For testing in school, it can show us where we have lack of maybe understanding or knowing something that is of importance to us. It can reveal medical tests, something that may be abnormal in our bodies that we ourselves don't even know about. But today we're going to talk about another kind of test. Tests we face in life. Tests that have the power to mold and shape us into who we are. I'd like you to take a moment and reflect on your life. I'd like you to think about some of those defining moments in your life that have made you who you are. Now, I know we can't think back over our entire lives in 30 seconds, but if you're like me, when you think about some of the tests that have been in your life, some of the things that you have endured, what you have probably thought about are times when you thought you would be defeated, but came out victorious. Times in your life that maybe you were treated badly, which helped you realize how it is that you want to treat others. Maybe you thought about a major loss that you had in your life that taught you what it means to survive. Maybe a crisis in your life. One where you thought, I am never going to be able to get through this. And then when you get through the other side of that crisis, you realize just how resilient you are. But I think it would probably be safe to say in any of those circumstances, you would look back and you would see where God was helping you in each of those circumstances. As difficult and as challenging they may have been, you would not have got through them without the grace of God. Think about some of the persons in our history who have overcome difficult challenges in their life. Think about Beethoven, who did some of his best writing and music after he became deaf. Think about one of our greatest presidents, Abraham Lincoln, who fought for the freedom of slaves. Did you know that he suffered from depression? But he didn't think about himself. He went to think about those who were being oppressed and how it was that they could be set free. What about Martin Luther King? And the fight for equal rights and how he confronted hatred and imprisonment and violence. Do you remember the words that he spoke? Darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that, and hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that. Today is the first Sunday of Lent. And had we read our gospel reading from the Gospel of Matthew, we would have saw that that reading was the temptation of Jesus being in the wilderness for 40 days, fasting and praying, and the temptations that came to him at the end of that 40 days. But we did hear the story of the temptation of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. There was one limitation put on them. One, they're in this beautiful garden with trees hanging with fruit and vegetation on the ground, and they're told, you can eat of everything here except this one tree. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. Of that tree you shall not eat. And we all know what happens, don't we? They're put to a test. This sly creature comes to Eve and says, did God really say that? Did God really say that you shall not eat of this one tree in the garden? And Eve gives an explanation. But she embellishes it. She says, not only does God say we shall not eat of this tree, he says we shall not touch it or we will die. Why do you think Eve added those words? We shall not touch it. It's not what God said. Do you think she was trying to make an impression on the serpent of how important it was that they not eat of this tree? Do you think maybe she was saying it for her own benefit? Thinking, well, if I say that we're not even to touch it, it will help me in not eating of it. However, the serpent says, you won't die. Your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God. So there's Eve. Do I trust what God told me and not eat of this one tree? Or do I listen to the serpent who tells me that it's okay to eat this fruit and that it's actually going to help me. It's going to give me more knowledge. It's going to open my eyes. A test. Can we identify with that? Have you ever had to choose between being obedient to God's word and what looks pleasing or appealing to you? See, in Paul's letter, he writes to us, or to the Roman church, that, you know, he's willing to explain this full essence of the Christian faith and the message about God's grace and how that grace is greater than any human sin. However, we can't read those words and think to ourselves, that gives me a license to sin. If God's grace is greater than any human sin, well, that just means that I can go out and do whatever I want, and then I'll ask God for forgiveness, and that grace will be given to me. Yes, Jesus's grace is an act of God's love for us. It frees us from that bondage of death to eternal life. But it's not a license to sin. See, sin leads us away from God, and grace draws us closer to God. It leads us into reconciliation with God. Sin leads us to death, spiritual death. Grace leads us into new life through Jesus Christ. Adam is our example of disobedience. Christ is our example of obedience. Now, I can't speak for any one of you. I can only speak for myself. But I can tell you that there have been times in my life where I have listened a little more closely to the voice of the serpent, the voice of Satan, as he's whispered in my ear, that caused me to eat of the fruit. I also know there have been times in my life where that Holy Spirit power of God has been so overwhelming that I knew the right choice that I had to make. I also have felt that amazing power of his grace when I have confessed of my sin. That grace that says to me, you are loved. You are forgiven. You are accepted. You are mine. It's a life-changing experience. Here's the thing, though. That life-changing experience may not be something everyone can see, but it's one that you feel. You feel it deep in your soul, and you see it in your own life. And maybe sometimes you don't even recognize it. Maybe there's times that God is working in your life and you don't even realize that this grace is being poured out upon you until one day you sit back and you go, wow, you know what? I no longer am doing whatever it was that was pulling you away from the Lord. You know what? I no longer desire to do or to have something that keeps us in that close relationship with God. That's what happens when we journey with Jesus. We have these experiences. Very seldom are we going to be like Paul, where our lives are immediately transformed and we have this deep desire to just rid ourselves of everything. Remember, even Paul said, I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I do want to do. But what we see is when we are journeying with Jesus, that becomes less of what we don't want to do and more of what we do want to do. God offers us what no other human being can. He offers us grace. He offers us that opportunity to walk on that spiritual path that will lead us to his cross, and he will be our guide. But here's what we need to understand. That path is not going to be smooth. That path is not going to be effortless. Satan is going to be at every turn as we journey with Jesus in an attempt to take us off that path. It's going to be a path that has bumps and potholes and obstacles. Look at Jesus's life. The path he traveled wasn't paved with gold, was it? It was a dirty, dusty road. One that led him to Jerusalem, where he was beaten and spit upon and hung on a cross to die. So why should we think our lives will be any different? Why would we think when we say, Lord, I confess of my sin and I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, would we think that our roads would be paved with gold? See, our roads are going to have bumps and potholes and obstacles in them too. But every one of them will have meaning and purpose for our life. There are going to be times that it seems as if it takes every fiber of our being to continue. There are going to be times that it seems as if we are climbing up this mountain and it is so tall we don't know if we will ever reach the top. There will be times that we will be suffering and there will be hardships. But what we also need to remember is there will be times of rest. There will be times of peace. There will be times of blessings. The question is, what do we do during all those other times? Because when we are climbing that mountain, when we feel as if we don't have a fiber to continue, when we're going through those difficulties and struggles, that's when Satan is going to attack us. That's when he's going to say, follow me, I will give you something better. I'll show you the way. We need to remember that we have to stay strong in the spirit. I often wonder, when the serpent came to Eve and tempted her, what would have happened if she would have cried out and said, God, help me. God, show me which is the right way. Help me to make the right decision. That's how it is for you and I. Our life is going to be full of choices. Do we cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, show me the way? Help me to make the right decision? Our life is going to be full of hard choices. For Adam and Eve, it was whether to eat a piece of fruit or not. And for us, we can look at that and we can go, you know what, that was really silly, wasn't it? All these trees with all this fruit, this vegetation. How silly of Eve to have eaten of that one tree that God told her not to. But we weren't there. We weren't with her to know how clever and sly Satan was. And he's just as clever and sly with each of us. You and I are given a choice, and we need to respond. Every time a temptation comes our way, every time a test is set before us, we will have to make that decision of what it is we will choose. Satan's going to tempt us. He knows us. He was given power here. He knows what our personal desires are. And he's going to say, here, take the easy way. Here, I can offer you something better. Here, God's not telling you the whole truth. So you and I have to make that choice. Whether we're faithfully going to continue to follow Jesus when it gets hard, or whether we're going to give in to the temptations that Satan sets before us. When we journey with Jesus, our lives are going to be characterized by our trust and by our obedience, because you and I have come to know the unconditional love and grace of the one who was tested and obeyed. Obeyed even to death. So which path are you and I going to choose? Let us pray. Gracious God, our life will be full of tests. And Satan knows where it is to sneakily and slyly test us, sometimes maybe without us even recognizing it. May we constantly look to you. May we constantly be open to your Holy Spirit, which you have promised to be our guide, our helper, our counselor. And may we walk in your ways, no matter how difficult that journey may be, no matter how high that mountain seems, no matter how much suffering we are going through. Because, Lord, we know that you are with us every step of the way and that you will see us through. You will keep us obedient so that we may have eternal life with you. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.